Now, when we look at fatherhood, we have to look at the state of our culture today, because it's a problem in our culture today. If we look at just from an earthly standpoint, it really has been called an epidemic. This idea of fatherlessness or the lack thereof. And if we look at that, many people today have grown up without a father. There's many, and it's increasing. It's been increasing over the last several decades. The father is not in the home, or people have grown up with a father that is not healthy, not good, even abusive and hurtful. And so that's the father they know. Some of us, again, did not have a good father. Some of us did. But we know that our earthly fathers are not perfect. But we do understand that there is a blessing in fatherhood. There's a blessing to have a father. Because fathers play a significant role in the life of children. Do you know church attendance? One of the greatest indicators of your children going to church in adulthood is whether the father went to church and the father took his children to church. That's one of the greatest indicators that experts tell us will children will grow up and be going to church and continue in their faith. Fathers have a significant role in the lives of children, in the lives of their family. Fathers can speak life over their children, or they can do damage, even cursing their children with their words. Fathers can nurture their children, care for them, bring great value and worth to them. They can help form them and shape their identity. Fathers have a powerful effect upon children. Fathers can instill values and build character in their children, character that runs deep into their souls. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he's to go, and they will not depart from it. So the very character that fathers can instill in their children can run deep and affect their whole lives. Fathers have a powerful impact upon children. But is a child doomed in life if they do not have a good father on this earth? No, we know that's not true. We know that children are not doomed. Now, statistics do tell us that life is harder. Life is more difficult for children who grow up with an absent father or an abusive, hurtful father. Statistics tell us, like for instance, the Texas Department of Corrections, in their data from 2022, says 85% of inmates in Texas are from a fatherless home. Okay, that's the state of Texas. The U.S. Department of Justice says in their data that 7 out of 10 youths in state-operated detention and rehabilitation centers come from a fatherless home. NPR Radio gathered this information, said children from fatherless homes are twice as likely to drop out of school and not finish their education. And drug use and suicide rates are all higher in children without fathers. So the statistics tells us it's not good. And that brings an epidemic to society, because in our society, we have a lot of problems in our society, even crime and substance abuse and all kinds of things, because of the lack of fathers or hurtful fathers. Fathers have a powerful effect upon all of our lives. Every one of us has been touched in very positive ways or even negative ways. Now, all of us, it's important, need to forgive our fathers. The good ones and the bad ones. Because our fathers are not perfect. And the worst thing in life is to have a father and to always think about what they didn't do. To always think about how they failed us. To constantly rehearse that in your mind over and over and over again. About how absent they were. Or how hurtful they were. Those things may be true, but it's important for the Christian and the believer to be able to forgive. Even the worst of the worst. Joyce Meyer shares in her testimony about her father who abused her growing up repeatedly, over and over again, that she had to come to a point in her Christian walk. When she became a Christian, the Lord at a specific time says, I need you to forgive your father. In fact, God said, forgive your parents, because she had to forgive her mother and her father who abused her and her mother who looked the other way. It was very painful. It was very hard. And she didn't think she could do it. Because how could this happen to me? How could a father do that to a child? But she found the grace. God gave her the grace. You see, sometimes you have to pray for grace, because grace is enabling you to do something in by the power of God that you cannot do on your own strength and your own ability. So the grace of God, we need it every day. But sometimes we have to ask the grace of God, God, I need to forgive. Lord, help me, because I don't have it within me to do it. And God will give you the grace to forgive. And even for good dads, you know, some of us had some very good dads, but they weren't perfect. They could have done this a little better. They could have done that a little better. If they had just spent more time or taught me this or But just those things, make sure you go back and say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive all of that. And Lord, I want to honor what is honorable. You know, even Joyce Meyer prayed for her dad to come to faith. And he did on almost around his deathbed. He ministered. She ministered to his father, prayed with him, shared the gospel with him, and really only at the very end of his life did he accept Jesus. But God had changed her heart radically towards her father, so that she actually had the ability, which she did not have, but God replaced all the anger and all the bitterness, he replaced it with love. That she actually came to a point in her adult years that she actually could say, I love my father. I love my mother. And I want to see them in heaven one day. God wants us to have that ability to forgive and let go. Sure, we could say for them, but really for us. For us. That we would walk in wholeness. That we would walk free from resentment, free from bitterness, free from anger. God wants to set us free. Because the captive who's bitter towards our mom or our dad is us, if that's where we are in life. God wants us to be whole and healthy and blessed and full of life. And sometimes we need to deal with the father wound that we've experienced in our lives. But hear this good news. We all have a Father in heaven. In Christ Jesus, we have a Father in heaven who's perfect, who loves us perfectly, who adores us. The Bible many times refers to God as Father. This is actually more prevalent in the New Testament than the Old. But when we look at the words of David in the Old Testament, he speaks of a Father who loves even those who are been orphaned in life. Psalm 68 says, sing praise to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. He's a father to the fatherless. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God is faithful. He's a faithful father. He's not a father who abandons. He's not a father who forsakes. In fact, he's a father who finds those who are orphaned in life, those who've been forsaken by their natural fathers. And he says, I'm a father to the fatherless. I love you. I love you. In fact, Psalm 27:10, it says, even if, again, David's speaking, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. So we have this promise in the scriptures that says, even if our parents forsake us and they leave us and they abandon us, our Father in heaven will hold us close. You see, that's where he invites us to that place. He invites us to a place that's close, that's intimate, that's knowing him. Not to be far off, but to be up close. In the New Testament, Jesus shows us the Father. He says that. He says he came to show us the Father. And he teaches his disciples to pray this way. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or if you look at the New Living Translation, it's our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. keep his name holy. When we come and we pray to the Father, have reverence for that name. You see, if Father has a bad connotation for you on earth, we need to renew our minds. And in renewing our minds, we come to the word Father and we start to understand it through the lens of our Father in heaven and know that that name, there is holy reverence for that name. Jesus prays and communicates with the Father, and he teaches us to do the same. See, he modeled it. He modeled it. He was always in communication with the Father. This was a lifeline for him every day. If he had to give up sleep, he was going onto the mountaintop early, early in the mornings when it was still dark, and he was praying because he had to. He had to have time and communion with the Father. He said, the very words of the Father are like food to me. They give me substance and sustain me. And he teaches us to do the same and to call God our Father. And we do this when we pray to show reverence and honor to that name. Jesus let us know that we can personally know the Father. That again, he's not this distant, transcendent being in the universe somewhere, but he's a God who came close. He's Emmanuel, God who came close. He's with us. In fact, Jesus tells us that he is the way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that knowing Jesus is also knowing the Father. Hear the conversation he has with his disciples. As he's explaining to the disciples, and the disciples really don't understand this very well, they're trying to learn. Matthew 14, verse 6. Whoop. Did I give you the wrong reference? I may have. Okay, we'll pull that down. I'll read it. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. But Philip said this. He said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me the Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Jesus came to show us the Father. What is the Father like? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He came to reveal the Father to us. And then to make the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He makes a way to the Father. In him, we know our Father. He presents us the Father, and he leads us to the Father, and he makes a way for us to be called children of God. You ever think about that? As we sang in the second song today, that I'm a child of God. And when we proclaim that, we should proclaim that with some veracity, for some robustness, because that has meaning. That has deep, abiding meaning, that you're a child of God. Not forsaken, but children with a great hope and a great inheritance. Galatians chapter 4 spoke about God's plan. God had a plan to make us children, to make us all children. He had a plan. It says this, verse 4. It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heirs. God has made you his heirs. You have an inheritance in him. This is a beautiful thing because God gives us a place in his family. We belong in the family of God. You have a family. There's nobody here who doesn't have a family. Even if you are an only child and your parents are deceased, you have a family. You have a family, an eternal family, forever and for now and for always. It cannot be taken away from you. That's good news. So knowing Jesus as our Savior, we also know God as our Father. He loves us. He loves us. And he says, I want you to draw near. He invites us to draw near. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So have this confidence, right? He says, have this confidence to enter into my presence as a child. As a child. You know, children have the right to interrupt parents. Now, we teach them to do it politely, right? Like we teach, you know, just put your hand on my shoulder that you have something to say. You know, be polite, but you have the right. You have the right to interrupt. You have the right to ask for a need. You have a right to, you know, I'm hungry. I need this. I want some crayons. I mean, you have the right, right? As children. And God gives us that right. So we don't have to feel like, oh, you know, I don't need to ask God one more thing. I mean, I asked him for something yesterday. I can't ask him for something today. It just doesn't seem right. I'm just asking him for too many things. I don't want to be needy, right? And sometimes we, almost in shame, won't ask God for things that we have need of. And say, I'll figure this out myself. I'll do it on my own. And sometimes we just go in circles with that. And sometimes we never figure it out. And we just do it on our own. Or sometimes we just piece things together like life with duct tape. And God has something much better for us than just duct tape. And he says, I want you to ask. I want you to ask, and we're going to talk about that. It says, ask. But know this, God always has time for us. He always has time for you. Isn't that amazing? We are to know who he is, we're to be known by him, and we're to know him. We're to have this special knowing that you can know God, and he knows you, and we can pray to him. It's a privilege. It's a privilege of knowing God as our Father. We who are born of the Spirit have this right and this privilege to approach him and enter into his presence. And Father God desires to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. And when we lose our way, he comes to find us. Jesus again describes the heart of the Father when he's describing a parable. And he speaks of this parable, and he's speaking about the heart of the Father here. Okay, this is the heart of the Father, Matthew 18, verse 12. Thank you. It says this. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that did not wander away. In the same way, is it not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish? It's not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. It's not God's will. Even when we lose our way in life, that we're his children. We belong to him. And so if we wander away, if we kind of try to find a different pathway other than God, and we say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my own way. You know, God still calls out. He still comes to find us. He still calls out to us. He wants us to come home. He never forgets us. He doesn't forsake us. Do you know you're on his mind today? You are on his mind. He's thinking of you. He has thoughts of you. He has plans for you. The Bible tells us he has plans for you. He has thoughts towards you, and they are good. Plans to prosper you. That's what he says. The Bible says he has plans to prosper you. His thoughts for you are good. He never forgets you. You know, I can remember a time in middle school. Okay, I was a pretty good kid, but not always. But I was a pretty good kid. Every now and then I did something that was not a, well, I needed correction. Let me just say that. A friend was spending the night one night. This was my middle school years. And he was over in my house, and we were just out in the neighborhood that evening, just going about and talking and doing stuff, and just totally innocent, no problems. But, you know, eventually we kind of got around to being a little bit mischievous. And we started thinking thoughts of like, hey, well, let's do this and let's do that. And it seemed like it wasn't going in a good direction. But we were good kids. Sometimes we were a little bit mischievous. But it was one of those moments when we just had a bad idea, you know? And we started acting on that bad idea. And a good thing happened in the midst of all that. The good thing is I heard a voice in the neighborhood. I heard this voice calling out, Mark, it's time to come home. Because it was dark by then. It was nighttime. But a voice was calling out, Mark, come on, come on in. And I heard that voice. And it was good that I heard the voice. It was the voice of my dad. My dad had come out. And I'm telling you, dads sometimes have this sense. They just have a sense when it's just time to come home. It's just time to get the kids in the house. See, dads sometimes have that sense. And they know, and they go out walking and searching. And he was in the neighborhood searching and calling out. And I heard his voice, and it just kind of interrupted everything, which is a good thing. And so we came, we found him where he was, and then we came on into the house. And I just think about that. I say, you know, a good father will go out searching. And sometimes it will interrupt the voice of God. It will interrupt a flow in our lives that's not a good flow. A place that we're going is not a good place. The direction we're heading is not a good direction. And we need to hear the voice of the Father calling out to us. And we say, God, I'm coming. Yeah. It could even wake us up to realize that what I'm doing right now is not really what I should be doing. What I'm endeavoring in, what I'm giving my time to, what I'm devoted to is not really what I should be devoted to. Sometimes we just simply need to hear the voice of the Father calling us, and we need to go. Go to the Father. You see, there's such a spiritual truth to that. There's such a spiritual word to that we need to hear. We need to hear the voice of the Father, especially in times when we're not really in the right place. Sometimes we could just feel down on life. Sometimes we could just feel honestly depressed. Sometimes we could feel like failures in life for whatever reason. And we need to hear the voice of our Father, because He's not given up on us. He's not forsaken us. And he doesn't look at us and look like, hey, you're a failure. No. He looks at us and says, you know what? I can turn everything, all things, for good. I can make all things for good. I can take your mess. I can take your failures, and I can turn them all around. And I can take a mess and make it a miracle. I can take ashes and make it beautiful. I can take all kinds of things where just a lot of hurts in life and bring healing. God can do that. Our Father in heaven can do that. And sometimes we need to hear His voice calling out to us and say, okay, God, I'm coming your way. I'm going your way. I'm going to go with you to the Father's house. See, that's where we need to be. We need to be with the Father under His umbrella. The Father God, He desires to lead us and guide us in life. Well, I hope you can hear God's voice. I hope you do hear God's voice. And I hope you hear His calling on your life. And I hope you hear that reminder of where your home really is and the direction to go in life. How do you feel when someone says, God is your Father? How does that make you feel on the inside? Does that give you a sense of warmth and comfort and strength? Or does that unsettle you inside? How do you know yourself? Do you know yourself as a child of God? Do you know yourself, your identity? Do you know that you are? That you belong to His family, the family of God? See, children belong to the family, and children carry the family's name. That you actually carry His name. And that there is authority There's authority in that name. You have authority in that name, the name that God gives to us, that we belong to Him, and that children also have an inheritance, as we read in Scripture, that we have an inheritance to Him that cannot be taken away from us. It's a forever, eternal inheritance. We have that security in Him. You know, every father wants to leave his children inheritance. But what we have in Father God is beautiful. It cannot perish, it cannot fade, it cannot spoil. It cannot be taken from us. So know this, you're a child of God. You have access to the Father through Christ, through the blood of Jesus. And we are never orphans. We're never forgotten about. So understand, when Scripture refers to God as our Father, He speaks. It is speaking of an ever-present source of life. He's our source, a Father who's committed to His children. You know God's committed to you for your growth, for your provision, for your care, for your character. It's true. You know, we can have highs and lows in life, but God's always there with us through every one of them. And a father teaches a child the way they're to go. This is another beautiful thing about a father-child relationship. As a father-child relationship, we're to yield ourselves to Him. We're to learn from Him. He says that, you know, learn the ways of God. Learn His ways. So we're to be teachable. And in being teachable, we have to be correctable. Because any child must be corrected by the father. This is just natural, actually. It's natural. To be formed by a holy God who's working out imperfections out of us. And this requires correction and discipline. Not to hurt us, but to form us. And that's important, because sometimes when God is correcting us, it hurts. Right? Most often what it hurts is our pride. Most often what it hurts is our pride. But if we're teachable and we're amendable and we listen to God, He is our Father, and we really allow that. We don't push that relationship away. We say, yes, Lord, correct me. Yes, Lord, teach me. Yes, Lord, guide me. One thing is for sure, we will grow. We will grow, and we will grow more and more into His likeness. Because that's what He's doing. He's growing more and more of His character in us, because that's what a father's. Fathers have this responsibility of instilling character into their children. Good character. And the Father God is committed to doing that in our lives. So we're still growing. And we're still yielding ourselves to the Father. We're still yielding ourselves because we still learn we're not perfect. He still has a work He's doing in us. And He promises us that what He began, He will finish. Scripture tells us that. What He began, He will finish. And so we continue to yield ourselves. We never get to a point and says, God, I've got it all together. You can stop now. You can stop teaching me. You can stop molding me. You can stop shaping me. You can stop correcting me. You know, every kid wants to tell his parents, I know, Mom. I know, Dad. I know. You don't have to tell me again. Right? Were you that child who had to told your parents, yeah, just stop telling me. I know. But then as a parent to a child, you're like, well, if you know, why don't you do it? Right? So how much do you know? You know here, but you haven't. It's not become part of who you are. It's not become part of your character. So we can tell Father God, I know. I know, I know, I know, I know. But Father is also saying, okay, now it's time to do. It's time to step forward. It's time to make some changes. He's committed to us. All He asks for us is to be committed to Him, to abide in His presence, to grow in Him, to learn from Him, to seek His wisdom. To seek His wisdom, because the Bible says ask. Ask. You need His wisdom. And the Bible says stay in conversation with Father God. Stay in conversation. Jesus tells us very specifically to pray intentionally, pray persistently, pray expectantly. And why pray in this way? Why should we be insistent? Why should we be expectant and very intentional in the way we pray? Simply put, God is good. He's very, very good. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus says, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? He's a good gift giver. He loves us perfectly. He gives us good gifts far more than even our earthly father, even good fathers who gave us good gifts. But so much more does he think about us and care about us and provide for us. One simple reason is just because he loves us more than any earthly father could possibly love us. And though we may have had earthly fathers who loved us very much, he loves us more. Though God's goals may be different for us than maybe our earthly fathers. Maybe our earthly fathers did really great in helping us get a good education. Maybe they taught us the ways of life. They taught us different things in life and how to survive in this world and different things. Those are not bad. But God's goals are even greater because we need to see he's forming us into his image. God invites us into his divine nature. He endows us with authority from on high. He's empowering us with ability beyond our own natural ability. He pours favor upon our lives. Do you know what it was like to walk in the favor of God? To walk with him, in step with him? The favor of God that opens doors that no man can shut? When God opens a door for you, the favor of God is upon you. No one can keep you from going through that door except you. God's favor is like incredible blessing for each and every one of us. God speaks words that are true, and these words that cannot be revoked. When he calls us his child, those are words that are forever, and they have deep, deep meaning. God lights our pathway so that we have sure footing and we won't fall. God is a foundation for us. That's always sure. He's a sure foundation. He will not fail. So if we build our lives on him, we will have a life that will not fail. Though storms may come and difficulties rise, we're built on a foundation that will not fail. God is sure. Can be trusted. So what today, as we think about all the things, what does your Father in heaven do for you? What has he given you? How has he lighted your pathway? Are you walking in step with the Father? Do you feel his love? Or do you feel distant from him today? Is there still a wound in your heart? That wound may have been caused by an earthly father. And that wound is still there, and it's still causing issues in your life. God wants that healed today. He wants you to know a loving Father that's perfect, is faithful, who cares for you more than any earthly father ever could. And he wants you to hear his words over you. He wants you to hear his voice and how he calls you his own. And honestly, he wants you to use those words, Abba, Father, where it says, call out to him as Abba, which really translated means daddy. It's very personal. And in fact, Jesus was kind of breaking all the rules. This is why we see Father talked about so much more in the New Testament than the Old. It is mentioned in the Old. But to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Father, that was not common. Jesus, though, presents that very, very relationship to us. He says, call him Abba. Call him Daddy. The kind of daddy that you can climb up into his lap. You could pull on his beard. You could tell him everything that was going on in his day. And he looks into your eyes and he wants to know. He wants to know. He wants to know when you're sad. He wants to know when you're happy. He wants to know about your triumphs. He wants to know about your failures. He wants to love on you. And he wants you to know that he's always there for you, because he has a forever abiding love that will not fail. And so that you could always come to him. Don't let shame become you between you and your Father. Don't let guilt become between you and your Father. The things that keep us from going into his presence. Because again, he says, draw near. He didn't say, have everything perfect in your life and then come and we'll talk. He didn't say that. He says, draw near. And he will draw near to you. Well, I hope you know how good your daddy in heaven is and how much he loves you. But I'm inviting you today is to remember again. Remember all the times that he's blessed you. And sometimes the times he's corrected you. And the times he's guided you and changed even the pathway that you're going in life. But I'm praying that this morning we can trust him and we can know him in a deeper, deeper way. That's my prayer for you, us, all of us today, that you can know Father God in a really intimate, beautiful way.